Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to the Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports, and we are part of the Ball Don't Lie podcast. If you're expecting NBA talk today, this is the wrong place for you, because we're going to have, I'm going to introduce you to myself today. My name is Bleak Gilliam. I am the love doctor, okay? I'm the love doctor. That's what we're here for. So if you heard the laughs and cackles from my esteemed panel, I'm going to introduce them to you. If you're on YouTube, you see them already. First, we're going to start with the grieving Jemele Hill. Jemele Hill is grieving because her San Francisco 49ers choked away another Super Bowl. Well, we're not going to talk about that today. Jemele, thank you for joining us. The person might be sitting to her left. I'm not sure exactly what it is on y'all screens, but on mine is Monica McNutt, ESPN, the New York Knicks. Y'all riding kind of high right now. Y'all dealing with some protests, but y'all okay for the moment, you know?
Listen, man, that's crazy. But continue. Good to be here.
Now, we have Dr. Pia's fiance.
That's hilarious.
Jason
That's
Goff.
Hilarious.
That is why you are here. I'm explaining why everybody is qualified to be on with the love doctor today. And I am your love doctor while all of these people are so happily, you know, whatever, right? So let's get it going. I was going to save this for the end, but I feel like in our pre-show, it was just hot. So I'm going to bring in producer John, because John had some homework last night. John's homework was to watch The Best Man, the first one, the 1999 movie, for the first time. And a lot of things come to me, because who you think the villain is in that movie tells me a lot about your feelings on relationships and messiness and all of that. So John, before you tell me who your villain is, I want you to give me your theory on Robin, who was played by Sanaa Lathan.
You're trying to get me in trouble right away.
All the trouble. All the trouble. All the game.
You led the witness, Benny. You led the witness. I just want you to know.
Well, in the pre-show, Jemele wasn't here, and everyone agreed Jemele was going to hate this take. So I'm looking forward to meeting Jemele like this. So my theory on Robin was a good, wonderful partner to Harper. Great girlfriend. She wanted it to be more. That's fine. And Harper's backing away. Later on, when Harper lays out his cards, telling her that, hey, I slept with this girl over here. Hey, I kind of want to sleep with this girl over here. None of them are you. We're still dating. She gets up and she's going to storm out. And then he's like, nah, baby, I need you. And she just changes her mind, just decides to stick around. She helps him out. She goes to the wedding with him. At the end of the wedding, I'm giving stuff away as a 25-year-old movie. I don't care. At the end, he gets down on one knee and proposes to her. And I'm pretty sure she said yes, but I might have blacked out. Because why was she so stupid to go along with all of this when she didn't need him? And my thought, and this is where I'm going to make Jemele angry, is that when she thought about leaving, she also thought, this dude's about to be super rich. And if I stick around with him, maybe I can get a check. Because I didn't take her to be a stupid woman. I took her to be a smart woman. And I couldn't understand why she was doing stupid things. And that's the only way it made sense to me. I'm sorry. It's controversial. I'm sorry, Jemele.
That's actually not that controversial. But I would say you realize that she was agreeing to be with a writer. Writers typically don't make a lot of money. So if she was waiting for a check.
He was going to be on Oprah's book club. Sorry,
I knew he was
going to
be on Oprah. No, I get it. But it's like, you know. But see, you let off who the villain really is. The villain and the person who needs to be accountable is Harper.
Yep.
Harper was the villain of The Best Man. He slept with his best friend's fiance / wife, right? Then put it all in a book.
Yep.
Like a real asshole, okay? Then on top of that, proposed at somebody else's wedding, which is a no-no. So he on the checklist and then tried to sleep with his girl. One of his best friends trying to sleep with Jordan while his girl was on the way to the wedding. That dude is an asshole. And he was the entire series of The Best Man.
The entire time he should have been with Nia Long anyway. Like, what are you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Thompson. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Thompson from The Athletic has joined the chat. Just for those who recognize the voice, he came in fashionably late. I have a theory on the underrated villain of this whole thing, y'all. And Jamel and Monica are not going to like this.
Oh, Lord.
Jordan is the underrated villain of this whole thing.
No, I'm fine with that.
I'm not too mad yeah. at that.
Nia Long plays a train wreck in every romantic movie she's in. She was a train wreck in Love Jones.
That's wrong.
Yep, I said
Vinny just called every woman who watched those movies a train wreck who found relatable moments. That was every woman listening in the background in the podcast. Like, you know what? She's not a train wreck, Vinny. And she was right. She was love struck.
Yes, Taria Williams. I love you and me along with your girl. But she was a train wreck in that movie. She passed around the book in this movie. She confronted Mia and asked her, how good was it in The Best Man? You gonna ask your homegirl and you know you want to get down with this dude? Hey, I know it's kind of a secret, but tell me what it's like. That's kind of a villain, y'all.
John, when we started this thing, the conversation was, why would this happen? Why would she settle? And by the way, there's only one villain in The Best Man, and that's Merch. That's the only one difference. And we all know why. We all know why.
Get this straight. What did Merch do?
Merch is an honest man that believes in love.
Is he, Monica?
Yes.
Is he? Because sort an of. Honest man wouldn't see his student at a bachelor party, then leave his woman for the student who he is still teaching. Come on now. There's one demon in this movie, and it's Merch.
Listen, I also know a Merch who doesn't happen to share our melanin, and they are happily married with multiple children 20 years down the line. But anyway, continue.
Well, yeah, I can't speak on these things for another 16 days of this month. You know what I'm saying? I can't. I'm 14 now. But no, seriously, though, the reason why, because John was perplexed. Like, how could this happen? And he used stupid a couple of times. Like, ah, these are stupid decisions. And what John has to realize is that Harper Stewart was ascending Oprah's book club. He had a gig, you know, he had fine women around him, which always makes you look better as a dude. It's slim pickings out here after you get to a certain, stratosphere. So yeah, Robin was willing to do whatever she had to do to get the dude that she wanted, even if that meant compromising her morals, which unfortunately a lot of women in this day and age have to do because it's a lot of ain't dudes running around here. So you gotta choose the cream of the crop of the ain't shit. And that's why she made the decision that she made.
Let me ask you guys this though, because we now know how the entire series and has played out, does that change who you think the villain is?
No. And to Jason's point, Robin to me, like Jamel, we know Robbins. I know Robbins in real life. Like if she's stuck to her guns, the entire series gets written out differently. But I totally get it. Like, she was like, we're going to work through this. I do like him. He likes me. We're going to work through it. And everything else is just par for the course. The devil you know is better than the one you don't know, right? Like, in terms of being out in the streets trying to figure out this dating game. So, no, it doesn't change anything for me concerning the whole way the series played out.
Now, that's an interesting point, because we're going to put a pin in that there. Because one way I wanted to transfer and go from this was, we're not going to talk about what we do wrong. I want to hear from y'all. See Jason over there. Jason over there, ready. But we gonna go ladies first. We gonna go ladies first. I'm gonna go to Jamel first. What do men get right about women? Because all we hear about is $200 dates and you not buying McDonald's for my kids on the internet. Right, I'm the only person that see this.
These are not real people, by the way. I was like, they're not real people. I can't be. I feel like they're bots, and like they were sent here to create a gender war in the black community to destroy us.
And are winning
right now. They got all the ammunition. Listen, this is my fifth year of being married. Right, I met my husband in 2014. I met him at a tailgate, at a black alumni tailgate at Michigan State, when I had gone back to the homecoming parade. And what I would say about what a lot of the things that he got right, like I like men who are good listeners, and he is the most thoughtful man I've ever dated. You know, to the point where like he leaves me notes sometimes in my suitcase, or unexpected cards just popped up. Like, he doesn't need an occasion to do something thoughtful. And it wasn't about a $200 date. It's about the thought you put into it, which I, you know, I just stay clear of the $200 date argument. Because, like, for example, because we were long distance for 4 years before we both moved to L.A. And when I went to see him in Myrtle Beach, that's where he was living at the time, after we connected at homecoming, he knows I'm a foodie, and he took me to this really interesting fusion restaurant that was like burgers, like a burger sushi restaurant. Like, it was really unique. And because he knows, like, I sort of like unique food and unique experiences and unique food experiences on top of that. That to me was thoughtful. I couldn't tell you how much the date was. I don't know if it was $200. I don't know if it was $100. I don't know if it was $50. The whole point was he was thoughtful. So I think men, I feel like when they are invested in relationships, you do get a different kind of effort than those where they might want a situationship, might just want to hit it and quit it. The energy they bring is very much in a lot of cases going to match how they see you fitting into their lives at that moment. And so I think men are when they're invested, they can be thoughtful. They can be, listen, I'm sure it's some woman that probably sees the way my husband is behaving now and be like, that dude was a real asshole to me, but he's a great hair. No, but, and I appreciated that. I appreciated the fact that he was always truthful, honest, had integrity. You know, when we first started dating, like, we both told each other we did not want a serious relationship. We just kind of, as they say in Love Jones, like my man said, oh, no, we just kicking it. Like, that was sort of our approach. And then when our feelings both started to get involved, that changed, and we were able to have an adult conversation. So I always liked that his effort level was always there, even when we were, quote unquote, just kicking it. So he got that right, as well as a ton of other things. He got the fact that my birthday is December 21st. I hate people who try to give me one gift, and he got me separate gifts. So he understood that right away.
December 4th birthday here. So I totally
correct.
Get it. Yeah,
yeah. In the building.
Sag life. Marcus Thompson, since you were the last person to come in, I'm going to give you the floor next. What do women, because you've been married for what, 20 years, right?
Yeah, it'd be 23 in May.
Okay, so, nice. So what do women get right as opposed to what we say they don't? Now, you've been out the game for a minute.
Man, who cares, man? Women are right. So they don't have to get that right. They just
spoken
are.
Spoken like a true man. A man there that's been married for a while.
I mean, the value of a woman in a relationship is inherent anyway. So we already starting at a deficit. That's part of the situation. Like, we are trying to play. We are trying to find the treasure. You know what I'm saying? So already I do feel like women are right. But generally speaking, the idea that women seem to have down, especially in the Black community, is loyalty, work ethic, commitment, all of those things that kind of make Black women special are perfect for a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would not be, I mean, I'm only married because of my wife. Like, that's it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's a bar.
Otherwise, I'd be in these streets with y'all, the old man in the club, parking lot pimping. You know what I'm saying? Trying to find a home. But I mean, we all know this when we just think about our grandparents and our like they get right the elements that make relationships work. Like, yo, I'm riding with you. I'm supportive. I'm nurturing. Like, I'm not going to quit. To me, when you just calculate all that a woman brings to the table, then it's really not much about how much they get right. It's just how our ability to kind of match that and match that energy and match that commitment. At least that's how I feel. But my daddy was like an old blaxploitation player. So I learned a lot of what not to, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was one of the butterfly collar players. So
not butterfly collar.
I did learn from both sides of the ledger. But even then, right, even in the days where they were like, you know, them 70s players, there was still like...
Yeah, they had a family on the other side of town, Marcus. Yeah, they just didn't tell nobody.
While there was heavy womanizing going on...
They were gentlemen, though.
Yeah, exactly. There was an uplift. There was a understood reference for a woman while womanizing them. You know what I'm saying? So... But I'm serious. As a dude growing up in that, like, I respected that. Like, the way my daddy treated all his women, Like, that was the...
Gotta walk one to the door so you can get to your next day.
You know, now obviously you learn a lot from your mama's heartbreak, but, you know, still, like, I just feel like women, and I was raised by women, so I'm definitely skewed by this, but women are the right in the equation. Like, even when their wrongs don't negate what they bring to the table. Relationships work because of certain elements, and women have them. And in our society, which is hugely patriarchal, when you a attractive man, when you got stuff going for you, you have the ability and the right to be arrogant. Like, it is automatically endued into you, so you lose some of those elements. You ain't working that hard. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because you are the cream of the crop. You know what I'm saying? Like, where once you find that, like, that to me, that's what makes it work. And that's why I like Jamel and her husband. Like, they're such a joy to watch because they already passed all that stuff, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they found a sweet spot where them old people tell you, man, get 10 years. Once you get to 10 years, you get in that little rhythm. Like, they walked into the rhythm, it looks like. So, like, all that kind of playing stuff that Vinny used to do, that's done. Like, you get through that. You know what I'm saying? That's, I mean, damn. I used to do Vinny still.
Vinny
do
caught a strike right there, boy.
Big time straight, man. Yeah.
I brought you on this podcast so you would not throw strays. Marcus, see, this is why I was about to say something, John, but I'm going to respect you. Y'all know
I knew what was coming.
Yeah. Y'all know what I'm going to say? Yeah. I'm not going to say it because, you know, we are a family company here.
Now, I just see Hollywood Hogan spray painting something on the side of the board right now. That's all. I think he was just about to yell that word as loud as he possibly could.
He was about to spray paint naysayers on the side.
Naysayers, there you go.
He was about to be like, naysayer, please. Yeah, yeah.
So Monica actually started this. When I posted the clip on Instagram, Jamel said, I want in. Because Monica was talking about, you know, how we should have more babies, basically. Right? That was like the end of it. You said
we should have more babies?
No, not literally. Not literally. It was like the conclusion. It was like the conclusion of it. But Monica started off by saying pretty much that we're not as honest with each other as we need to be. So, Monica, is that the number one thing? Is that the biggest impediment to these relationships that seem to kind of go awry in the age of social media? Is it a lack of transparency?
Yeah, and vulnerability, honesty, whatever you want to call it. Like, people literally are like, I'm not thirsty. Listen, time is ticking. If you're interested in somebody, you should be okay with voicing that. And if you catch your L, you can move on cleanly as opposed to playing all these little games. Like, when I met my fiance, we met through a mutual friend, and it was very like, you want to go to dinner? I was like, yeah. Then we started talking. And for us, we weren't at a place in our lives where we were just dating to kick it. And he had experienced enough life. I had experienced enough life. Like, we were emotionally mature. We were honest with one another. If we're trying to build, like, then let's be sincere on that. And if you want to pull a ripcord, let me know so I can move on too. Like, I just think in general, if we were more honest with one another and actually did a better job of Jamel's point of listening. Now, granted, even in your best efforts of listening, sometimes you still miss one another. But to me, honesty is the baseline thing. And not just honesty about what you want, but what you can bring and what your experience has created in you.
Ooh, man, that's a word right there.
And I'm bringing a W-2 to my date with Monica. She like, yo, bring the paperwork. Let me see your experience account. Like, we ain't got time.
Like, she wants to see the credit report real quick. She wants to see that relationship credit report.
I'm serious. And we were fortunate that, like, we have parents that are celebrating 30 plus years. So, like, the things that we've seen align. But, like, you know, you go on dates. What was your upbringing like? Who did you see during the child rearing or the earning of the money? Like, all of these things come into play. And you got to be able to be honest enough with yourself first before you can have a real conversation with somebody else.
I'm so glad you said that about honesty and transparency, because I actually asked my husband, I asked him to go with me. Okay. Like, I was the one who was like,
did you check the box? Did you get the box?
Yes, no.
That's gangster. You know, right there.
Yes. No. Cause, you know, I was just like, listen, my feelings have grown. you know, I know where we started. And he had sort of let his feelings know before then that, like, he would be open to discussing a relationship. I wanted to wait and see. And I think all of you can identify with this, especially you, Monica, being in the visible career that you're in. We are, just by the nature of what we do, we're in certain environments. And sometimes in certain environments with celebrities and superstar athletes and that kind of thing, everybody can't handle those situations. Mm-hmm. And we went to the ESPYs, and I already knew the type of dude he was. And so, you know, we had parties with, like, LeBron and all this other stuff. And he was just himself. He wasn't fanboying. And my career or the things happening at ESPN were never really part of the conversation. Like, when we went out on our first date, he wasn't like, so what's Stephen A. Smith like? Because I hate that shit, right? And mm-hmm, so I'm like, mm-hmm. I tell you, one way to make me not turned on is if you want to talk about Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. I don't want to do that, okay?
That don't do it for you.
That don't do nothing for me, all right? That's not going to get you closer, all right? And so I love that he never was, he was proud of what I did, and he admired it, and of course he loved sports, but he always kept in perspective, and I really appreciated that. Getting to when I asked him to go with me, the one thing I said, I was just like, okay, listen, we had an express understanding of this when we started, so if there's some situations you need to clean up, because I never asked him if he was seeing anybody else, and I never said if I was, you know, either.
Oh,
I
mean, you
I
out wasn't here taking. Oh!
No, I just said, like, hey, you know, yeah, if you have some situations that you need to clear up before we do this, go ahead and do that. Because I never, it's sort of like when you go to the blackjack table and, you know, the dealer pulls whatever card, you always assume that they got, you know, a face card underneath. Right. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. I'm thinking, like, this man has never said, like, you're the only one I'm dating, this and that. I might not be, but I know I'm the one he liked the most because he spent the time with
Jax. Damn
right. So I'm not even worried about this mythical other chick or chicks that I created in my mind. But if we're going to go forward, like you said, Monica, it's like, okay, what are our expectations? Here's mine. You know, if you need to clear your slate, let me know. And he was like, oh, no, it's not like that at all. But the fact that we had that conversation, I knew it. And I'm so glad, too, also, real quick, before you take over, Monica, I'm glad I got married at the stage of life that I did. Mm, I got married mm-hmm. at 40. I got married at 43. And my husband's 5 years younger than me. We were both, you know, financially secure, had traveled, seen the world, done a lot of things. And all of those experiences, I think, to your point, Marcus, that is why we were able to start with the joy and didn't have to work for the joy, is because of what we were both bringing to the table in terms of our experiences.
I love that.
I feel like Monica said something, like, low-key vital that we overlook. The idea of vulnerability, I think, generally speaking, especially if you're planning on a long-term relationship, like, the part that we got to get down is grace. Like, we got to give ourselves grace, mm-hmm. and we got to give our partner grace. And when I'm saying I'm married because of my wife, it's because, like, bro, I got married at 23. I didn't know nothing, like, nothing. Not to mention, like, I was raised in East Oakland. So I knew what I knew wasn't good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was raised on too
and
short.
And apparently you were raised by Spur Slim. So.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the whole culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was raised on too short. You know, my daddy thought he was Babyface. Like, my uncle and them, that's what they did, rent. So, like, I had to unlearn a lot of stuff. Like, but. I had to, in order to be the person I needed to be first, I had to, like, give myself some grace. Like, I had to understand, learn, like, hey, man, who I am at 25 is not who I'm going to be at 35. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't think about, like, yo, this is for the rest of your life. Like, you need somebody who going to hold your hand through prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not playing it. It's not no Cheesecake Factory question. Mm-hmm. This is like, yo, who are you going to be? You in 15 lying. Years. But like, even if you hear their answers, the women are always prepared to offer that level of grace where it's like, look, I see what you are, but I see what you can be. And man, I'm going to put up with some stuff in this process especially if you're putting into the process. But we be so messed up. We don't be vulnerable because we haven't given ourselves great shit. We don't want you to see that side of us that need to be cleaned up. Like, we ain't doing that. Like, nah, bro, you don't need to see none of this. But
we raised off of 90s rap music. Yeah. Ain't no real vulnerability. Yeah. Our vulnerability is Scarface. You know what I'm saying? That ain't real vulnerability. You know what I'm saying?
I don't get. We'll share it with our homies.
Yes, like, we will.
Bro, what? My homie is not wiping my diaper.
I've never had that experience though.
Like, no, but Jason, here's what I wanted to go to you with.
I've never had that experience. I've always shared more with my women than I have with my close male friends.
Really?
Always. That's great. Always. Mm. Always.
Like, you're a rare one.
I don't even have to do that. But no, I've never won. Because the type of women I was raised around and by, I always trusted women's sense of direction more than males. Mm. So I never was the dude who had 7-8 guys around. I never needed a whole bunch of people to be around me to feel strong, because I always knew that, you know, when it comes down to it, the things that have been like imbued upon me and like put in me were by women that I trusted. So in that, you know, I think we talk about it from that perspective, but from the vulnerability perspective, like, yeah, if you're going to tell something, you might as well tell it to a woman, because she's not going to do I don't know if this should get bleeped out, but she's not going to do the regular dick measuring that dudes do with you all the time.
Bruh,
you don't feel like you know what I'm saying? Like, she's going to tell you.
Okay, so question, follow up. Did you have like platonic female friends, or these are the women that you date? Like, where did you this sense of like comfort with your vulnerability come from?
So honestly, I was short throughout grade school and up until my junior year in high school. Right, I was.
You had the growth spurt.
I had a 6-inch growth spurt going into my senior year of high school. And up until that point, I was always somebody's like friend.
In a friend zone. No, yeah.
In a friend zone. Man.
But it wasn't, but this was the thing. I wasn't trying to hit though. Like, I think when you get in the friend zone, it's because, damn, I just landed here. Like, I was always very particular, like who I was around and who I wanted to be seen with, and also who I wanted to call my girlfriend too, right? Like, and then senior year of the yearbook, you see all these girls like, oh, you should have said something. And all. I mean, that's how I got with my fiance. I took my fiance out on 3 dates and was a complete gentleman. And a year went by and we didn't really connect. And then all of a sudden it came back around the block. She spun the block and I was like, oh, I'm not going to let this happen again. Right. So it's, you know, I think there's a bunch of dudes out there. I don't think I'm as rare as you let know of any, but I think there's a bunch of dudes out here who confide a lot in women. And then you find out what's good, what's not. Like, how you going to be selling something to a customer and don't know what the customer base is? Right. Like, a lot of dudes, you know, playing rap music all the time and all these other things. Like, you know, you got to provide a certain environment for a lady to let herself relax a little bit. And then you can get some real jewels. But other than that, all you're going to be doing is trading war stories with a bunch of dudes who's single when they 50 years old.
You scaring the hoes.
But you know what? To that point,
I've never been one to scare the hoes.
I will say, to that point, like, and I had a therapist before I moved. It was two moves ago. She was like, make this list. And I tell everybody this list. Artemis Petrula, shout out to Artemis. The A list is every single thing you want, like, ideally in a partner, right? Spiritual, mental, physical, financial, the whole bit. The B list, you take a different pen. And you mark the things that you have had in the past. And the C list, you take the last pen and you mark the things that are non-negotiable as you move forward. So to Jason's point, like, I think there are women that have solid men in their circle that may be candidates, but they don't match this ideal A list, but they haven't dealt with what is actually important to move forward. I tell my fiance all the time, I probably would have looked at you twice. Like, I thought I was going to marry some jumbo sized dude. Like, he's my type. And I love it. And like, we're so happy and I'm looking forward to our life together. But I had to really sit down and look at what was truly non-negotiable and what mattered. Yeah.
Now here's funny. Y'all know why I call myself the love doctor. Y'all might not know. This is going to be a quick story time with Vinny. And Jamel's going to laugh at this because Jamel was in town this week. Speaking to Monica's list, I have a girl that I went to college with. She's my like home girl. I dated her friend. So me and her were by proxy just like super cool all these years. And I didn't notice until later. NABJ is in Detroit in 2018, National Association of Black Journalists. She doesn't come out and party. I'm like, hey, come out and party. She has journalism friends. Just come out to this party. Come hang. Come kick it. No, I'm going to sit home and watch Living Single. No. Just, literally, she said that. I promise you not. She's going to cuss me out when she hears it.
Oh, no, that sounds kind of sad, though.
No, it's like successful.
It surely
like,
does, Marcus.
Successful black woman, right? Good looking, all that stuff. She comes out. My best friends are there because, of course, I'm helping host the party. We hang out after. I'm noticing something, but nothing like comes up. I come home a month later. She's like, you ain't come and hang with me. We go have drinks. I'm supposed to have dinner with my friends after that. They persuade her to come stay and have dinner with us. More sparks fly in. And I'm like, hey, are you sweet on her? And next thing you know, Love Doctor, Cold Cracker, they've been together 5 years since because I happen to see shit. That's why I'm the Love Doctor, Monica. Don't be looking at me like that.
Monica, hey, Monica, that is not Love Doctor work, but okay,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, it is Love Doctor work.
That's like the Detroit version of Hitch. Like with some gators on. What you talking about?
I'm gonna let you do my brother from the D like that.
I mean, I'm happy that you helped facilitate that.
Do y'all know
how hard it is? It's so hey, that's the most hockey assist hookup I ever heard in my life.
No, but it did. Big whoop. No, but they actually didn't. And she said to me, she was like, it wasn't until I started dating him that I realized that everything I said I wanted from that list, he was on. I had made that list after my last breakup. I didn't know nothing about this list. She just, you know, said it after the fact. And she was like, he checked off every single box. And my best friend had just gotten out of this really terrible relationship with a terrible person who happened to have his kids. And he was like, I'm not dating for 2 years. I'm out. He was like, I'm done. I'm going to just handle my kids. He had custody of his kids, all that stuff. And I'm like, hey, this might be something here. And I was, you know, just slowly.
What you doing with your list flawed?
That's what I was going to say, because I didn't know about the list until
Marcus, that's a word.
My fiance told me about the list, and now I'm hearing about it from
Your fiance, by the way.
Huh?
Your fiance.
Thank you. Amazing. I do, too. She's a cool gal.
I didn't know about her, man. I got
Jason. It's my homie. We go at it, but that's my homie.
Jason, when I told Monica who was coming on, she was like, okay, so Jamel, Marcus, she was like, I don't know about Jason. I'm like, well, you know Jason's fiance. And she's like, who?
That's what we on?
That's my jail.
Hey, let me tell you something. 20 years in the third market in the country, all right? I am Jason Goff, all right? I'm also, you know, Dr. Pia Hollick's fiance.
Once you tie that knot, bro, you are a career extra.
Listen, it's over.
You're an extra in somebody else's life.
Hey, I told her. I got the Stedman kit already polished and waiting. You feel me? I'm not going. Hey, I've been working too hard to be proud at this point. We out here.
A lot of men don't know this, though. About that, a lot of women. I don't think I ever made a list, but a lot of my friends made lists. And like, I remember one of my girls who's married now. She made a list, and the funniest thing on her list was knowledge of past, a present, and current civil rights issues. And I died.
Bruh.
I was like, wow. You trying to marry Clayton Biden? What are we doing? Yeah,
you said, what's your grade in social studies? Like,
you better take setting the vibe off that list if that's on that end.
I'm like, I'm gonna sit down and go over the 1965 what's going on?
You're gonna get hot over the Constitution test.
That is a wild non-negotiable, but I understand it being on the list.
But I do. Like, basically, she made this list in her 20s, and what she was trying to say is like she wanted somebody who was had a firm understanding of their black identity, but you know, we didn't have the language then.
But you kind of pick it, don't you? Like, along the way, you're like, he didn't laugh at that scene in Martin.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Did he say Martin Luther the King or is he Martin the King? Like, which one?
Your thoughts on Terry Crews.
Last thing. Could be damn near up against it, and John is probably losing his mother loving mind with this window into black culture right now.
Yeah, he's just writing down all the references so he can take it back like an undercover cop.
Wow, he's narky.
Now, Monica, I'm gonna start with you because we start off with what we do right and what we do wrong. what do you think the opposite sex does not know about women? Like, what is like the, I'm going to say a vulnerability, but what is the thing that we might overlook that we may not know, but you will know about each other, that women know about each other that men do not?
So I don't want to go down this rabbit hole today in this space, but I am almost at a place in my life where I don't think that it's a gender thing. I think it is more a personality thing. Because I am a pretty blunt, straightforward woman. I have female friends that are like, mono do the talking, because that's not how they roll. Like, my fiance is, he is straightforward, but he has a different bedside manner. And like, our disconnects are on how to effectively communicate. Like, and I cannot say that that is a blanket thing by gender. And so now I think for me, listening to someone is so, so very important. Like, I think most naysayers are busy trying to think of their response before they are listening for an answer. But to me, honesty and listening solves all of that. Like, in theory, men know what women want. You're just not listening to the way in which she feels most loved and the way for you to demonstrate that.
Okay, now, drop that bar.
That was a big bar. Now, what I was going to say was, my parents have been married close to 45 years. This will be 45 years this year. People assume that if you come from like that type of traditional parent home, that, okay, Vinny, your parents have been married, your grandparents have been married, you're going to be married. Says who? The assumption is that. And I'm like, who says me and my daddy have conversations about marriage in that way? I may see the warts of marriage. I see the reality of marriage more than I see the fantasy that some people who don't grow up in that environment. Like, we fantasize about the stuff, right? When you actually see it, when you see the work that it is every damn day, you making the decision like, hey, man, I don't know if, man, I got a career already. That's a job enough, let alone this needy blankety blank over here. You know what I mean? Like, that type of thing. That's what
it's
I mean.
It's also, too, Vinny, like, what you think marriage, well, what you shooting for marriage to be, too, right? Mm. Like, on a lot of levels, marriage is a business decision. It's also a decision of understanding who you want around your kids, who you want to raise kids with. Like, you know, you always got to find out somebody's basement because you're going to live in it at some point.
And also, it's not static either, right? Yeah, like, it changes. Yeah. Like, as you grow, it changes. Yeah.
So if you think that marriage is going to be the same thing in the first 5 years or the first year or what you've seen of marriage. Also, you know, our parents and grandparents had a totally different dynamic and environment they had to operate in as opposed to what we have. And also, you know, there's a lot of men and, you know, myself included, who have had to understand that the women that you're dealing with right now ain't your mama. They're not your grandmother, right?
Ooh, like, that's a fact. That's a fact.
My lady understands a lot of things about me, and I don't understand half the things I need to understand about my lady. So that's a part of it too. Like, going into it, knowing that, yeah, I got a gig, and I got two gigs. I got to be here, I got to be there, but I also got a son to raise. You know, I also got blind spots that I know I'm never going to correct, unfortunately, that she is strong in those areas. So handing over some of that, you know, that power and always understanding that I could be a man while also taking direction. Like, it's a lot going on with that. So the definition of what marriage was and now is a lot different. And it might not, and that's the other thing too. Everybody ain't got to be married. If you know that I'm not taking this from that one. And hell, I have had these conversations by myself in the shower crying. and come out, look her right in the eye and go, you know what, though? I'm all right. Like, I'm all right. Like, you got to understand what you're all right with. You got to understand what you're not cool with. And to Monica's point about, you know, being honest, you got to be honest with yourself. Like, if you know this is a flag I'm planting and she's just going to have to work around it, well, guess what, player? You going to have to work around your workaround. Like, that ain't going to happen.
Or she got a flag too, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But now, and marriage is also, it's not a mirror, it's a reflection. I think
John got a lot of bars that he gonna be pulling from today for the social club.
Also, our weekend gonna be lit at John's crib. He gonna be like, let me tell you what they were saying. Let's incorporate some of these things.
When he reports back. Right. I think something Marcus said was so true earlier in this conversation is like, there's a lot of things I had to unlearn. And I was coming out of relationships where, frankly, I was never the villain, right? Like I wasn't, you know, I had my moments, but typically those breakups were because I engineered them. And, you know, that other person was like sort of clearly in the wrong. And, you know, quite honestly, they didn't hold me accountable for some things they probably should have. And then when I got with my husband and we started dating, he had a different sense of this accountability because he was much more emotionally mature. And it forced me to really take an honest look at myself and how I operate, because I was so used to operating a certain way. And I realized with him that, oh, there's expectations here. There's like accountability I have to have here that like I never had to have before. And while it was really uncomfortable to unlearn some of the habits that I had picked up, it also has helped me grow into a much better person. Because that's the other thing I think you have to feel, whether you're going to get married or whether you're thinking about or in a serious relationship. Yeah, like, does this person actually make me better? Yeah. And I can say 1,000% my husband makes me a better person every single day. And I think that is a difficult quality to get with the other person. So getting back to your original question, you know, Vinny, I don't think it's, I agree with Monica. I don't think it's really necessarily about gender. I think in our dynamics, we have traumas that we have to deal with. We have habits we have to unlearn. And then the difference, I think, when Black men and Black women come together is that we're both dealing with our own set of racial trauma in this world. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the relationship that sometimes that we ignore. You know, as a Black man, you feel neglected and, you know, threatened, or like people consider you threatening and like understanding what your space in the world. As Black women, it's like we fighting a battle on two fronts. We fighting misogyny and we also fighting racism at the same time. And sometimes those elements are combustible when they're put together. And I
especially
think
if you don't talk about it with each other.
Especially if you don't talk about it. So while we do have the safety and comfort of having shared relatable experiences and understanding what it's like to be Black in America, because of the patriarchy and all those things that we have to deal with, sometimes those conversations, we, you know, to borrow Monica's phrase, we miss each other. So we need to also understand how the racial trauma impacts our marriages, our relationships, and partnerships.
I'm going to leave that one there. I'm going to leave that one there because that's Jemele Hill with the final word. In other words, y'all saying what Jason says to me all the time, Vinny boy, you ain't getting married.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
Vinny get married for sure.
If you want to be married, Vinny. I'm with you, Marcus. Yeah. I think you're going to get married.
I do too.
When did this happen, Vin? Oh, you're talking about New Year's Eve years ago when I said that. That was a different time.
That's a different story. That's a different story. I got some trouble that night.
I think the woman for Vinny is out there. It's probably going to be a little bit more abrupt than you think it will be.
Oh, it's gonna hit him like a brick.
It's together to catch your attention, and she's probably gonna be like, "Bro, what?" And then it's gonna be
It's over.
Yeah.
He cooked. Yeah, he cooked.
I'm gonna save my real thoughts when John presses stop. But ladies and gentlemen, Jemele Hill, Monica McNutt, Jason Goff, and Marcus Thompson II. They have joined me. They have dropped so much knowledge on this Love Doctor episode of The Good Word. I really, really appreciate y'all. We're going to have to do this again. And yes, Jordan was the villain and the best man. I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, somebody call the police on merch.
I got this. Jason, don't do this for me. Producer John, who watched The Best Man last night, he's behind the scenes doing everything. And everybody who works hard behind it, thank you for everybody. I'll be back for your regularly scheduled NBA talk after All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis. No more cold weather cities, y'all. Seriously, man. Until then, everybody be safe.